listen to two married lesbians discuss an LGBTQ plus book each month that highlights the queer human condition as they use connection and humor to relate the issues to us as a queer community. She's Anna.
And she's Miranda.
I am. And we're two married lesbians.
We are.
And we're all queer here. All right, all you queer folks out there.
Queer bibliophiles.
Yeah, queer bibliophiles. I like that.
Happy surprise Pride Month drop.
Woo!
We are going to discuss Red, White, and Royal Blue. This is an adult romance novel, but we believe parents have the final say about what reading material is appropriate for their child. Author Casey McQuiston grew up in Louisiana, so deep south. Casey is queer and non-binary and uses any pronouns. So we need to figure out, maybe we'll just use they.
Let's go with they.
Because it might get confusing. Okay. Also, from May of this year, they did an interview with Publishers Weekly. And Publishers Weekly asked them what's next for them. And their response was, there's a collector's edition of Red, Ooh. White, and Royal Blue coming out. That has a, it's written, so it's not, doesn't say it like that, but.
Yeah.
So this collector's edition.
But I also had it in the Oprah voice in my head.
Yeah.
Like, you get a car, and you get a car.
You get a special edition. Okay.
Yeah.
So collector's edition with a bonus chapter written from Henry's point of view. So gotta get
interesting.
That.
Interesting.
And I'm working on a new book, another queer rom-com for adults. All I can really say is that it's super bisexual, and there's a lot of travel and food. I love travel. I love food.
Sounds like a win.
It sounds like a win. And my history with this book, my old book club, which most of us were LGBTQ plus, had just
read. The plus designates like really awesome.
Really awesomeness, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Apple TV plus, like all the awesomeness.
Sure.
But anyway.
So then my question is everything outside of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, is that subscription-based? We have to pay to
no,
be pansexual?
No, hush. Okay, you're crazy. Okay, no. But
no, it's just free awesomeness.
So it was like a queer book club. And we just got done reading a book that I couldn't get into. And I'd seen this book in the store. It was their first book that they published. And I grabbed it, read about it. I was like, oh my God, this is the book. And it was coming up on June.
Mm-hmm.
And so at our like end of May meeting, where we were going to pick our next book, I came in a little late and I had had a glass of wine.
And you came in hot from the stories I've heard.
And it was hot outside, so I came in like double hot because it was, you know, May in Texas. And I pressed the book down or slammed the book down in the middle of the table. I was like, this is our next read. And if we don't read it, then I'm never talking to any of you again. And they were just like, what is this book? And I was like, this is amazing. And then we'll talk about the crappy book we just read or I didn't read. And then this book is amazing. And then, yeah, it was just, that was like, this book was like a salvation from a reading rut for me. And then just turned me on to this amazing new author. Also, the fact that this book is set in a magical world where a woman wins the presidency after Obama leaves office. And Trump doesn't really seem to exist. So let's imagine that for a minute.
I want to go there.
Isn't it glorious?
I wrote down multiple times, we have a woman president from Texas, no less, who is a divorcee. Like, what is this magical world? I want to go to there.
Well, she's married. I know, she's remarried. Because I don't know that a single person could win presidency.
Did she win the presidency as a divorcee? Did she go through the divorce during her presidency? I don't think we learn.
I know that, I think they were divorced because her ex-husband was like in Congress, I think. Or he campaigned for her as her ex.
As her ex. Okay. Because then he was like coming in like, I'm going to help you again, little lady. No, he didn't talk
like that. No,
he didn't talk like that. But
he was very like non-obtrusive.
Yeah.
Like,
but
he
did try to be like, I'm going to help you again.
So you want to talk about our two voices, our two narrators?
Yeah. So we have Prince Henry. And then, of course, we have America's first son.
Alex,
absolutely.
Who is biracial.
And bisexual.
All the bis.
He's like, bi, There's not a third, so we can't have an NSYNC moment.
Bye, bye, bye. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that
sorry. That one by shy.
That parody must exist.
Okay, so I have...
Bifocals. Sorry, that came
bifocals
out.
Bifocals when know, he like gets older? Older
bisexual, biracial with bifocals.
Yeah, okay.
Like, so we have to fast older forward. Audience.
We have to fast forward to go back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's fine. Okay, so my history with this book... was when I met you, it had to have been an early date. It had to have been like, technically, it might have been our second date, I believe. The second date that turned into, it was, let's go see a movie, and then it just turned into all day errand running together.
Okay, yeah. I mean, this is almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, so. it's been a minute, but best second date ever. I mean, like, I loved it. It was great. I bought a car with you on my second
date. But you
were
already scheduled to pick up your car.
I know, but it was just...
The way you make it sound like we, like, randomly started the process. Like, the trade-in process. Like, that was finished. They were, like, cleaning the car, vacuuming it, making
it
pretty.
Then they went, oh, surprise, something doesn't work. You'll have to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, that was a bum deal.
That was awkward, but that's okay.
And that car turned out to be, like, the worst thing you ever bought.
Not the worst thing.
It's pretty bad.
It was bad.
Problematic.
It was a lemon.
Mm-hmm. It was a lemon.
But anyway.
Or an orange. It wasn't as bad as a lemon.
Okay. So, yeah. So, like a lime.
A lime. Mm-hmm.
It was green. Limon. So, that works.
Limon.
Limon. Anyway. Anywho.
It's in the morning. We don't usually record in the morning.
I know.
I feel
we're
extra,
all full of piss and vinegar.
I'm all coffee and cream. Coconut milk. Not coconut milk. What did I say?
Coconut milk.
I've been thinking about coconut milk lately, but no. Oat milk and coffee. Milk. So, I'm like extra sassy.
Ooh.
I got some pizzazz going on.
I like extra sassy,
yeah,
Anna.
Yeah, you need to do like some yoga or something, some deep breathing to calm down.
Okay.
Or just need keep to drinking calm down. Coffee until just, my heart just, explodes.
Let's get you some Taylor Swift.
Oh, I need to calm down. Okay.
Anywho. So,
back to this fabulous book.
Second date.
Oh,
you
gosh, we're
announced to me.
Oh, I did.
We're going to Barnes & Noble. I'm buying you some books you have to read. And I was like...
They were both queer.
Okay.
Well, this was
three.
One of them.
There were three. This was one... The other one became my favorite, like one of my favorite queer books of all time, which was...
Once in Future?
Yeah, Once in Future.
What was the third book? No, the third wasn't queer. It was...
Oh, Uncle that's Bryce, right. It wasn't queer. Yeah, the
it
third
was,
one wasn't.
Gosh, what was that book
It called? Was... It was actually inspired our wedding vows.
Yeah. All the Bright Places!
All the Bright Places.
So All the Bright Places, yeah, that was a book that I read and just really resonated with me. It wasn't queer, but it was one like I just wanted you to read because it was just beautifully written.
If you, I was going to say, if you need a break from queer books,
nobody needs that. Yeah.
But if you need an extra reading recommendation that deals with, like,
mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then the book is obviously so much better than the Netflix movie. I was disappointed. They don't really build up their relationship as well. It's like, all of a sudden,
there were some
supposed
good...
to believe that they're in love. And it's like, no, I need to see it.
I need to see them fall in love. Mm-hmm. I need to feel it. It needs to resonate deep within me. Just like real love.
Mm-hmm. This would make a cute movie.
This would make such a cute movie.
Like, this could be a Netflix movie. Like, we need some more adult
Or a fun stuff. Summer movie.
Yeah, I would think so. And I love that it came out. No, it must have been... I'm trying to think, because I say it was in late May, but no, this book came out, like, June 4th of 2019. So it came out in Pride Month. So it must have been our June meeting that I, like, slammed the book down. I was like, we're reading this for Jim.
Mm.
They gave us this... beautiful pride gift with their first book.
Oh, it is. It's quite the beautiful gift. So, okay. So I have to share, obviously Prince Henry is made up, but he is heavily borrowed from our current princess.
Oh yeah.
Right. And I didn't find this out until I was high school at the very least, but maybe an adult, but I am actually very distantly related to
not in class at all.
No.
Distantly related to the royals?
To the royals,
Is that why you have a corgi?
No, it's not because I have a corgi.
No, is that why you have a corgi?
Oh, no. I just like corgis because they're like big dogs with short legs. Mm. So they fit in small places, but they act like a big dog. Mm-hmm. That it's like a compact big
and
dog.
Which side of the family is it on? Please say your father's.
Yeah, I believe it's my father's. But anyway, we're related to Princess Di, so we're not related to the royal, we're related to the royals through marriage.
Okay, that makes so much more sense from what I know about your family. All right, let's go on.
I thought that was a pretty cool factoid.
It's okay, it's okay.
It's a whole bunch of like fifth cousin, twice removed, like it's...
Yeah, we need to be looking at a family tree to see all the discombobulated mess that it is.
Yeah, in other words, like I'm never inheriting anything.
Oh, babe, I didn't marry you for your money.
Oh, okay. Good. I'm glad. That's a relief.
I married you because I like the way your arms feel wrapped around me.
Aw, that's sweet.
All right, so I love that there were magazine posters of Henry when Alex was younger.
Yeah.
And it definitely reminded me of my time when I was a teenager, like flipping through J14 and getting the Pop Star magazine, you know, the glossy magazines. And he talks about specifically you were really careful. You could unpick the staple so they didn't rip it. And I was like, yes, that was me. Like, this is written for my time. Like,
we had very different childhoods.
Yeah. Well, I was like Christina Aguilera. Man, loved all of her.
I was subscribing to Dog Fancy and putting dog posters on my wall.
Huh. Okay, well.
But, I mean, I relate to the carefully prying up the staples. Because I would fall asleep and be like, let's see if without my glasses I can name all the dog breeds on
okay,
this
and we're
poster.
Done with this conversation. Okay, the wedding party.
Yeah.
The incident where that kind of leads to them having to be bros.
Oh, goodness, yes.
It was this awkward, like, he pulls his shoulder to not, like, let him have the last word. To be like, hey, and then he trips and falls into the... Like, it was this very, like... It was like an Anna move, like very
yes.
clumsy. I messed up and everyone's watching me and I don't like attention, so that's kind of comical. But if the cake falls on you, my question here is, can you eat the pieces off your clothing? Because that's a $75,000 cake.
That's, yeah.
It's got to taste good.
One would hope.
So, like, I mean, like, clean cake that falls on you and your clothes are already clean.
Oh, I'm going to eat it.
You're laying on the ground. Can't you just, like, pick it off your chest and be like, yeah. I would eat it. I mean, because,
yeah.
You know.
This, like, when I read this, the first time, not so much because I was just experiencing it for the first time, but the second time I read it, which was for, you know, preparing for this recording, that scene in particular read, like, literally something that could happen to us very easily. Like, you and I are both incredibly graceful and
to the utmost level.
The utmost level of grace. I literally tripped and fell into the bathroom this morning, and then...
I did. I saw that, and I was like, what's happening?
Yeah,
I can't stop watching.
Bounced forward. It was great. It was it was lovely. So I could totally picture this happening to us.
Yeah. It is a small door opening, though, I feel like.
To be fair, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Rescuing me from
You're
my
welcome.
Own
like,
clumsiness.
It is small, that's a small one, because it's a little baby ensuite, so...
Yeah. When you say all sweet, all it makes
sweet.
It sound so fancy. I'm like, oh, we're fancy. And then I look at it and I'm like, okay.
You're like, no. Yeah, that's a very, like, simple, like, faux pas at a party. And then they just happen to fall onto the cake. I think that was just, like, this moment where you're like, oh, and, like, they already have this kind of, like, discord among them that they don't get along, and it's kind of like rumored or whatever, so like this just makes it worse. And then they have to kind of pretend to be friends and get together, and they have all these I loved the snark.
Yes,
like it's one of those like not really like love hate, but like hate love, like they hate each other and then they grow to love each other relationships.
Well, so I wanted to talk about that because you and I can't remember if we've mentioned it on the podcast, but I know we've mentioned it to each other in our day-to-day.
Or day to day.
But the love-hate relationships, you and I have never had one. No, I'm not talking about you and I. I'm just meaning in
well,
our
there's
life.
There's moments when I hate you and think about how I'd murder you when I can't get you to stop snoring from smacking your shoulder throughout the night.
Okay, that's not what I was talking about.
That's not, okay.
I'm just talking, I was just talking about how,
we didn't start off as, like, enemies.
That then fell in love.
Like,
I have never had that as a relationship starter. Have you?
No. I don't know. I mean, like, does that happen often?
I feel like I don't know. I'm curious. Hey, listeners.
It's a trope.
Has this happened to you? Yeah,
I do
want to
hear about that. We've gotten some great emails lately. I just love responding. Miranda usually responds more to the Instagram because she's quicker on that. And I have a work Instagram and a personal Instagram, so that's enough for me. And I usually handle some of the email responses, but And we go over it together, so we both of our voices.
And sometimes it takes a second because we have to, like, coordinate our schedules respond. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wish we were less busy.
We're, like, a good amount of busy.
We're a fair amount of busy. I just wish that our downtime aligned better.
Yes, our downtime does not always align.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so love-hate relationships. Like, I don't know why we call them love-hate. I think they should be hate-love because that's the order it goes in.
Okay,
but it doesn't roll off the tongue as much because of the consonants.
You're
and
like,
stuff, so.
Hate-love? Is that... What?
What's that? Is it like angry sex? Like, I mean, this is an adult book. We can
it
say
is an
again.
Adult book.
But I
was just kind of curious about that. But then, like, the more I read it, because I generally kind of get frustrated with that trope.
Mm-hmm.
Because
but I didn't with this.
I didn't with this.
This was so, I mean, obviously, in like a magical world where a woman is president and Trump doesn't exist, this was so realistic.
It really was.
Because,
yeah.
Because, like, they're two, not heads of state, but like lower, you know, boys of state.
They're basically political celebrities.
They're political figureheads. Figureheads that have to
interact.
Too much coffee. They have to interact together socially every so often. And, you know, they're two world superpowers. So they have to kind of get along they get along.
I think the interesting part is when Alex first became aware of Henry, Alex wasn't elevated to that level of scrutiny, celebrity.
She was governor at the time or congresswoman.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But I definitely know he wasn't a first son, right? So he wasn't at that level yet. So it was like, for me, as I read it, it read a lot more like, do you ever have a sameness off with somebody where... You, like, I know that I have done this, and I now that I'm aware of it, I try not to, but I see it in others. So, like, I'm a very masculine of center, you know, cisgendered lesbian.
She says this while she's wearing a queer and handy
I made
hat.
This. I yeah. wanted...
I want to take your picture while you talk, so just keep going.
Okay, so...
Same off.
So anyway, like a sameness off where... You meet someone that resonates at that same frequency as you, as far as how you present. So, like, when a lot of times, historically and currently, when I meet a cisgendered lesbian that is very masculine of center, we definitely recognize the sameness. Mm-hmm. So that there's not I didn't notice you, but it's like instant recognition. And then, like, but I'm going to kind of slightly pretend you don't exist because, like, which one of, like, it's, I don't know. It's like this weird thing. Have you ever come across that?
I still don't know what you're talking about. So.
Really? You've never had a sameness off?
Never.
Oh, I've had this multiple times. Okay, well, listeners, weigh in. Have you had a sameness off?
Like, you don't acknowledge it?
No, you just kind of casually pretend each other don't exist. Like, you don't become besties. There's not a sexual attraction. You're just like, I'm this one. How can you also be this one?
Is this, like, in Home Depot?
Or at work, or... It's generally somewhere where you're going to keep coming across that person. Or friend circles or whatever. And then, like, somebody has to break through the sameness off and be like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It depends on how you meet them, like, how you're gonna...
Can you walk us through one that you've had?
Okay. So, at one of my previous places I worked, there was someone that resonated at the same frequency as I did. And we both were, like, kind of, not standoffish, but just, like...
Like the world can only handle one of us?
The world... No!
Is it a competition?
No, it's not a competition.
Awful. We need queer people in the world to be proud of who they are.
I know, and we both were, but it was, like, both of us were being that. And because we're used to running around in a world where we're the only one...
Oh, it's almost like there's two of you, and you don't know what to do.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us. It's like
okay.
that, but
so
like
you're trying to fit
aggressive.
Into a world...
Where there's
okay.
only one, which is wrong. The world can fit both of us. And so it's like, once you have that moment where you're like, hey, you come up with some sort of icebreaker and you start talking...
You want to go get lunch?
Then it's fine.
Okay. And do you see what I'm saying? Resolves it. Yeah, I haven't had that.
No. Okay. No. Maybe I'm just awkward. I know other people have had this.
Okay, sure. Let's move beyond this.
And we'll be right back. And we're back.
I loved the Henry Alex garden kiss at the New Year's party.
Oh my gosh, that was so sweet.
I didn't like how drunk Alex always was. And I almost wanted to do this episode while heavily drinking wine. And we saw how my my drunkenness got throughout the episode.
I would have to do so much editing.
I know. And also that's not really a healthy way to do that. But I just was I did notice as he was with Henry, he didn't drink as much.
Yeah. He made some better decisions.
He made some better decisions.
I do think also that kind of followed the journey of his self-acceptance. Because I know as queer folks, a lot of times it can be hard for us to overcome those feelings of, internalized homophobia. And
especially when you're bisexual, I think.
Well, yeah, because there's parts of your identity that are very, quote unquote, socially acceptable. All of it is. The end. But as far as much of our current society mm-hmm. behaves, it acts like certain parts are acceptable. If you date a woman, that's fine. But if you date a man, oh goodness, no, we can't handle it. And it's like, okay, bro, calm down. All of this is valid. Get over yourself, you know? So I can definitely see that. I know I've had bisexual friends that it took them a while to kind of accept, their full self, because they were like, well, I don't want to come out because I ended up with a man. Mm-hmm. So why bother? And it's like, because all of who you are is wonderful.
If when you die and I'm single, I'm still going to be gay.
True. But if you were bisexual and I died,
I'd still be bisexual.
You'd still be bisexual. And who knows?
Just with a lot of pugs.
With a lot of pugs, yep. That can mean that maybe you fall in love with a man. If you were bisexual. I know you're not. But
that wouldn't erase my bisexuality.
That wouldn't erase your bisexuality. With you. Absolutely.
So Alex starts thinking after they have that garden kiss that when he was, he thinks back to high school, looking mm-hmm. at guys in the locker room and not knowing if he wanted them or he wanted to look like them. And I feel like that. I feel like that. I felt like that. I'm not currently in a locker room with women, sadly, but no, I'm just kidding. but when I was very shy, and of course I always mm-hmm. thought I was heavy, but now looking back on my high school pictures, I was very slim. And so that's kind of funny when you look back and think
reframing things, huh?
Yeah, you think you're hideous, and you're like, oh my god, it was so cute. Look at that. Look at those bell bottoms. No, I'm just kidding. But I was so shy, and I would go into the bathroom stalls to change because mm-hmm. I didn't want people to see my sports bra. And I had PE first period freshman year. Don't recommend that. Mm. So, but it was so awkward because it's like, do I just want to look like them? Do mm-hmm. I want a different body type? Or am I looking because I'm interested? And you're not really, because you're shy, you're kind of furtive glances. And also mm-hmm. you're like, don't look at me. I want to disappear into the wall. That kind of thing. And that was such a real thing, moment that I connected with him mm-hmm. and was like that, and of course the magazines, that was my moment of wow, that was me.
Yeah.
And also, he came out at, 21, and so did I. So I just really loved this.
Oh, there you go. How cute.
Yeah. Formally came out. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I also remember being deeply troubled by locker rooms. But I did a whole lot of staring directly at the ground. It was just a lot of ground staring. Saw everybody's feet. But yeah, my fear and panic in the locker room was the same as it was walking past Victoria's Secret in the mall. Mm. Just, if I can just go very quickly, I don't know why I feel this way.
I was always awkward because I kind of grew up in a sex-shaming household. Yeah. Where we don't talk about sex. You don't have sex until you're married. And even then you don't talk about it.
Kind of had the opposite household.
Okay. Well, so Victoria's Secret for me was always like, this is a dirty place. So,
aww.
I know. But when I was in high school, a lot of my friends like would go in and buy their perfume or buy their underwear just because it wasn't, you know, their underwear was like cotton. I mean, some of it obviously, you know, is probably edible. But
okay.
I'm saying like the non-lingerie part.
If you
part,
need a snack.
Right. The non-lingerie part. Like the pink collection, yeah, yeah. Right? So
the however many for whatever dollars.
Right, right. So I would go in with my friends and like get the scents and like hide it in my drawer and be like, oh, you know, like this is the dirty store.
Turns out, no, it's just a store that sells clothing for bodies.
Yeah, exactly. And lingerie. And it's okay to have sex. Like, imagine that.
Turns out. See, okay, so I had a different household experience when it came to sex. Like, my mother tried to talk about it so much, it made me, like, deeply ashamed. And I was like, oh, no, this is bad. Like, I decided sex was bad and sex was
because
scary.
She was this, like, hornball, wanted to talk about it all
the
time.
She wanted to talk about it all the time to let me know how okay it was to talk about it. But also, I should never have sex before marriage. Like, and I'm pretty sure that came from my mom. But then growing up, like, as a Methodist, I mean, I...
And in the South.
In the South.
Kind of,
yeah, that message was there pretty heavily. And I went to an Episcopal private school. So, like, I just tripled down on messaging. So I don't know. I just kind of shut a lot of stuff down.
Yeah, I think it's hard. So much of our views of sex comes from our parents, mm-hmm. whether it's openly said or a lot of it is unsaid.
Mm-hmm.
And so what yeah. I wish my mother would have done for the talk, instead of bringing out a poetry book about how man and woman become one.
Yeah, it's a very limiting mm-hmm. view of sex as well.
It was. And then she showed me anatomically correct photos of each. That was awful.
Great.
Like the day I got my period. So there was like all kinds of awfulness going on.
Oh,
right?
Boy. She couldn't let you breathe a minute?
She couldn't let me breathe. I did get to stay home from school.
Yeah?
That was the one thing. But
did you get ice cream at least?
I don't recall. And if I did, I probably wasn't hungry for it. I wasn't in the mood for it. But I think I just wanted, like I would have wanted her to be like, sex should feel good for both people. And it can be for procreation or for expressing love or for just fun.
Yeah.
Like that's all. It was like one sentence yeah. or two sentences, however you want to punctuate what I just said. Like that's yeah. what I needed to hear.
And then be like, hey, and I'm here for questions.
Mm-hmm. Because I felt so guilty having sex for probably until like my late 20s.
That's a bummer.
Like I just felt like, I mean, it was great, obviously, because I yeah. was having sex with women, but like it just... You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it just felt like, this is not right. I don't yeah. know. Like, just, I don't know. It was that, like, Baptist guilt
yeah.
clinging to me. And now that yeah. we're married, it's like, okay, it's even better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, sex is a very complicated topic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Especially as queer folks. Because purity culture, for everybody, not just queer folks, everybody, purity culture is so problematic, and it creates feelings of shame around things that don't need it and shouldn't have it. And it then, because you're putting a layer of shame on top of all of it, it makes it really difficult for kids to speak up and talk about it when they're curious or when they're having sex or, you know, even past being like a teenager or early 20s. Like, there's just this layer of shame that it takes a while to get rid of. And
that shouldn't be the case.
It shouldn't be the case. Because sex should always be a beautiful, positive thing that you actively choose. And that feels good and that you want. And if you don't want it, then don't have sex. Like,
exactly.
Like, that's it. Like, full stop. Because I also, you know, in addition to purity culture and in addition to sex being described, asked about, talked about too much, but also being described as just strictly between a man and a woman for procreation, you know,
seems very limiting.
It is limiting. It's very linear. And it doesn't put women heck, it doesn't even bring up like non-binary bodies, mm-hmm. Or intersex bodies, but it very much centers male pleasure. And importance.
It's for procreation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it by the very way that it's spoken about, it's that women are a vessel. And I'm sorry, but that's not true. Like, just we're two people.
If that's your choice or that's your pleasure.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's just so problematic the way a lot of this is talked about in society, mm-hmm. at all.
I was actually, when we, because of course for my book club with mostly queer people in it, we did obviously read the book, because then I wasn't going to talk to them if they didn't. We talked about the book, and one of my friends asked about the sex scenes, like, what did you think of them as a lesbian? I was like, well, as a lesbian, I've never had gay man sex, but
these are facts.
I enjoyed them in the sense because, like, they're true to the characters. Like, just because I don't have those parts and can fully understand what that's like, I liked the scenes because I wanted them to be close together. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense.
Okay, because it's like you can, you know, it's like when I read a hetero book, or just a book, I guess that's what it's called.
No, I'm just kidding. Call them a hetero book.
Okay.
Because when we say, oh, it's just a book, then things as a standard.
So a hetero book, because I read a lot of thrillers, and so and sometimes, you know, they have sex in there. Like, every so often it feels like just, it's for the sake of being, like, gratuitous, but mm-hmm. every so often, no, like, a rom-com, mm-hmm. I read those, the hetero rom-coms, and it's like, oh my God,
because you're rooting for them, you want them to have that moment.
Exactly.
But babe, come on, you're like, oh, I don't have those parts. If you don't have the parts, store-bought is fine.
I mean, you can also enjoy what's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I mean, what you said is exactly right. It doesn't matter if you, as the reader, have that type of sex or want that type of sex, you as the reader are invested in these two characters, mm-hmm. and because the sex that they want to have is bringing them joy, you're like, yes, I want this for you.
I loved the build-up because they had to kind of get away from their security guards.
I know.
They were, like, constantly cock-blocked. Like, can they we talk were. About that?
It was professional cock-blocking.
I loved it, and Casey did such a great job. I love this author so much. I mean,
they're a gem.
Fantabulous. Love it. Okay, now that we've talked about the sex scenes, is there anything else? No, I'm just kidding. I loved the idea of the Texas binder and getting Texas to go blue, which, spoiler alert, it does by the end, because that has been thought about and talked about many times.
Can we please make that happen? Can we please make that happen in
2020? And that even his mom lost Texas when she won the presidency, which was
Kind of I thought that was wild. And I like think back, because we've had what now, a couple Texas presidents?
Sadly.
Yeah. And I
they're always problematic.
Yeah. Well, we won't talk about that.
Let's not drag it down.
But they certainly, their party captured Texas when they won the presidency.
Yeah.
So I find it very interesting that in this beautiful reality. Well, it's not reality. This beautiful thing we want
alternate
to be reality.
That's what it is.
I was like, hey, if Texas can't get on board, we'll leave you behind. We'll make it anyway.
Yeah. I think we needed this book after Trump,
mm-hmm.
and just so many things that happened.
Yeah.
After Trump.
Yeah.
Ruined the world. But yeah, so this was really like a happy pride gift.
It was. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I think it was beautiful.
I loved it.
I want the collector's edition. Well, please.
Please. Is Casey going to pop up on the computer and be like, well, just come here.
They're going to be like, click here now to pre-order. Like,
oh, my goodness.
Amazon's all about that pre-order nonsense. Yeah. So it's not nonsense.
Maybe let's go to their website.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. But I have to have that book and I need it now.
Well, it's not out yet.
I know. It's not out yet. Ha. But if yeah, so if you own this copy, a copy already, queer book bomb it, and then get the new one for yourself, read it, and then queer book bomb that, give that gift to someone
else.
Just
keep on giving.
Yeah. I also found it really real. Like, I like this book so much because I feel like even though they're, you know, the first son and the prince, it's very relatable. Like,
it is.
The people, and like Zara finding them,
mm-hmm.
that discovery of like,
you oh knew, my goodness.
I love you knew
it was
Zara.
It was going to be coming.
It was going to be coming like a train on a track. Like, it was just going to.
I couldn't believe too that, what was the British security guy?
Yeah, but they
guy?
Were engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kept it a secret. Like, that was awesome.
Well, that's your job to keep secrets.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm going to talk about the Star Wars mural outside the palace.
Oh, my goodness. I loved how they interwove, like, Han and Leia as a
first
as
of all,
a
where is that art that I can purchase?
I want that art.
Because I love Star Wars, and I love this book.
And we have referred to ourselves as Han and Leia before.
Yeah. Because you say I love you a lot, mm-hmm. and so I just say I know a lot. So
yeah.
Because I feel your love.
I'm glad you feel my love. You and I have talked about that I say I love you a lot, but I just, every time I feel it so much it wants to fall out, I have to tell you, because I only want, like, if goodness sakes, I hope it doesn't happen, but if ever something were to happen to me, I want the very last thing that I told you to be I love you. I want, I
not buy me more almond milk.
Yeah, or like, why didn't you make the bed? Like, I don't want that.
I don't
to
make
be,
the bed. That's
there. Okay. You go. Problem solved. But you know,
I know, I get it. Something just, you don't want it to be mundane. You want it to be full of love. I get that.
Yeah, and it always that. Means so much. I don't say it because I don't have anything else to say.
Oh, I don't. I know that you've got.
I'm a chatterbox.
Multitudes of ideas in your head.
I do.
You're full of multitudes.
I contain all
you
those
contain
multitudes.
All of them. What do you think about the Luna rep, the Luna character?
I really enjoyed Luna as a character because he was complex and he contained quite a few little interesting parts to the book, right?
So and he and Alex had interned for him.
Yeah.
I liked that kind of interwovenness.
Like, yeah, and he was like a mentor, like a gay mentor for him. So that, you know, he could kind of see what a Latinx out queer politician looked like, could achieve, was doing. And I think that's really powerful. Because when we can't see who we are reflected out in the world, it makes it hard for us to know what's possible.
It's hard to imagine us in a similar role.
Absolutely. And so...
And you can do it. It's sometimes a lot harder.
It is
or
a lot harder.
Longer.
Or takes longer, takes more effort. Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why having mentors, having representation matters so very, very much. It's because you can see, oh, I can be successful as an out queer person. I can do that.
Biracial person, yeah.
Yeah, biracial person, yeah. And that really matters. And so to see Luna being successful and making these choices, it was, and he felt like a fully fleshed
out character.
Enjoying
the ticket. Wasn't he his pick for VP? Did he just join his campaign?
I cannot remember.
I know, man. We were so focused on the love story. We were like, oh, the other politics, blah. But when you read this, or if you've already read it, the other politics are great, too. I just really focused on the love.
When he switched, when he jumped ship.
I don't think it was... I thought he joined the ticket. That was my understanding.
Because
it's a different... It was her primary.
I think he just joined the campaign.
The campaign, okay.
But I can't
that's
recall.
What I thought.
Anyway,
okay.
When he jumped ship and he joins, was it Richard's campaign? And I mean, in a book with a less well-written character, it would feel like a plot device, right?
Yeah, this just felt natural.
This felt natural. You were like, oh my gosh, like. Everybody was so upset. You were angry. You were concerned. You were like, this, why would he leave? What is happening? Right? And then I believe it was Alex's dad said he wouldn't just leave if there weren't a really good reason. Mm-hmm. And like, he had the faith in this guy to say, hey, it's got to be for a good reason. Okay. But my mind is jumping to different topics. Okay, you know that scene where Alex overhears Luna and Alex's dad, they're talking in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever find out what that was?
I thought it was why he was, like, leaving and he wouldn't tell him. And it turns out that he had, like, threatened his family when he interned for Richards a long time ago. And right. he'd come on to him. And then other accusations of abuse were kind of stemming from what Luna was trying to uncover. And that comes out later.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't put those two together.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like, okay. He was just like, just tell me what's going on and we can make it better. And he was like, no, I think this is the right candidate or something.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But yeah, but that all comes out later, and that's crazy. But let's do something lighthearted. The fact that His Royal Highness Prince Dickhead Poop Emoji.
I love that throughout that stayed the book, there the whole time.
Like, even when they're dating and they're in love. Yes. I would imagine they're in love. I think they say, I like it. Even like pre-love, falling in love moments, he still has it as...
And I love that when he came out to his mother was like, if you don't feel forever for him, then mm-hmm. then don't do this. Because she wasn't like, don't do this, it'll ruin my chances.
Right. But I feel he was the prince. I don't think if it had been a princess, I think it would have been the same thing.
Yeah, because you're talking about two countries and political figures romance, and a lot of
chaos. I felt in that moment that she wasn't doing it because it was a gay relationship.
I agree. It was because of his role in that other country. I loved that moment where they're talking about two parentheses closing 3,700 miles. Mm-hmm. Like when they're both talking to each other. I just thought that was so beautiful.
Well, I thought there was a lot of little moments where we fell in love with them as a
yes!
couple. The emailed love letter excerpts. Mm-hmm. I loved that the first time I read it. I loved it the second time I read it. And when he wore the tie with the yellow roses at the end.
That was...
When they had joked about him having a very bland attire for the majority of their get-togethers. And then Liam, the guy that... Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting kind of plot
that
twist.
Alex had experimented with,
made out with, that mm-hmm. Liam was at the watch party at the end. What did you think of that?
I really enjoyed it because it was... you know, it kind of gave us some perspective on Alex, that Alex had not allowed himself to fully see and understand those parts of himself, right? So even though, obviously, he's been bisexual this whole time, his internalized homophobia, the pressure he put on himself to be a certain person, you know, visually to everybody, he couldn't allow himself to see those things. He couldn't allow himself to see that, he's been attracted to men this whole time. And these are wonderful parts about himself. And I did appreciate that he kind of, as he's going through this and unpacking things, because when you start unpacking your own internalized homophobia, a lot of times you can end up being a jerk and being selfish.
Or realize that you've said hateful things to other queer people.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
You were hiding or scared.
Yes.
It's not pretty.
It's not pretty. And so I did appreciate that Alex kind of got that about himself. And he was like, I'm really sorry, I'm a jerk. I'm paraphrasing
horribly. But he called him and he was like, if you're trying to have a queer coming out, you know... whatever, this is not the time. And he was like, oh, okay. But it's like, you can't really blame Liam either.
No,
but at the end, I think we got that closure. And I appreciate that. I liked that he was there. I appreciated that. I want to talk about the rating.
Okay.
I gave it 4 out of 5 rainbows.
Oh, are we already here?
We're already here. I didn't like the ending when I first read the book. And I didn't like the ending when I read it the second time. I was just disappointed with, like... He's got the key around his neck and he takes him to his house and then it ends. And I'm just like, but what's the plan? And like, I know he says that Prince Henry says, I'm calling him Prince Henry all of a sudden. Well, Henry says he bought a place in New York and, you know, they're going to stay together. I just felt like I needed a little something extra. I don't know. That sounds really kinky. I needed a little something extra at the end. No, I needed like a definitive plan of action of how they were going to stay together forever and get married and have babies. There you go.
Well, that's the easy part.
Oh, well.
They got money.
I think there could easily be a sequel to this.
Oh, and
maybe
easily.
Maybe they were leaving that open for that.
Okay,
they
maybe
the
so.
They're the author, not they the
I
characters.
I will say this. So, Alex is running around with this key to mm-hmm. home on his necklace under his shirt the entire book, the entire presidency. And he hasn't gone home. Home is very sacred. It's private. It's beautiful. Right? So we have this perfect buildup of this metaphor of home, of self, of his truth, right? Of who he is. And he doesn't go home until he has fully accepted who he is, who he loves. And then once, you know, together, they work together with their families to resolve all the conflict surrounding them as a couple. Once you can work through that and you can go, okay, we can just be together and we can move forward. Because they've
still wanted a little bit more definitive planning. That's what I'm going to say. I'm sticking to my rating. You're not going to even change
okay.
my rating.
Okay.
What are you giving it 5 out of 5? What are you?
Of course I'm giving it 5 out of 5 rainbows.
Okay. Are they glittering rainbows?
They're glittering rainbows.
Okay, fine. Well, I give 4 out of 5 glittering rainbows. I
well,
love
I'm
this
glad
book.
They're at least glittering.
It turned me on to a new author. And in a time when I really, really needed it. And I think, you know, so often I come across a queer book and I'm like, I needed this. But then there's times where I come across a queer book and like my soul just feels renewed
mm-hmm.
after reading it. And that was this book for me both times,
mm-hmm.
even though I knew what was going to happen vaguely. Cause you know, you read a lot in between that. Cause I hadn't read it since, you know, 3 years ago. But I recommended this book to so many people and I just think the characters, what they go through, it just feels so true.
They're so
to
incredibly
life.
Relatable.
Mm-hmm. Even the tabloid story is like so realistic. I appreciated this book so much. And I love the author. Since this is a special surprise episode, we have already talked about what our next book is. So we don't need to feature that. I will say that along the way of this podcast journey, we will be probably surprising you with episodes every so often.
If we feel like it.
If we feel like it.
If our schedule allows.
If our schedule allows.
If they don't stop making queer books.
If they don't stop making queer books. We've gotten some great recommendations from our listeners for books, but
we appreciate that.
I want to open up a special request for October because October is LGBTQ plus History Month. And so if there is a book that is super important to you and has helped you in your life that has a historical aspect, we definitely want to hear about it as we make our final selections for the year.
Yeah, that's been the one month, like, we're booked all the way into, like, next year for the
yeah,
most part.
There's just so many books.
Oh, there's, I will never say too many, because we can never have too many, but there are so many, and we love that. We want more. We want a bigger problem deciding what books to read. But October has been that one month that we just keep going, what about the,
because I feel like it's historically significant, and, like, yeah. there's a lot of pressure, especially there was a lot of pressure choosing Pride books
mm-hmm.
for Pride Month
mm-hmm.
and October for History Month, and I just mm-hmm. want to be authentic in what we choose and make sure, you know, we have a positive book mm-hmm. and a historically significant book at the same time.
Yeah, because I think, other than this book, this is a fun book. There are a couple heavy points, but it's a light book. But the other two books that we have for Pride Month are a little heavier. They are a little heavier for sure. But they're extremely important, you know, we feel to the community as a whole.
Absolutely. All right. Well, until then, we're all queer here.
Absolutely.